Okay, also in the back of the church, there's holy oil and the blessed and exercised salt. The idea of the oil is that you can, oil was used through scripture for healing in the Old Testament, so was water for cleansing. So since we are baptized with water, oil, you can actually bless yourself, right? It's not the oil that the bishop blesses, it's just the oil that I bless, so there's a big difference. But I have seen many people have received many blessings, so I encourage you to take some oil. If you know somebody that's sick, you might ask them to bless that part of their body, or ask their family members to bless them with oil. It's a very beautiful experience. If somebody in your life, I mean, I say this sincerely, is really suffering, or is there near death, please take the oil. Call a priest first and get them anointed, but then you can take the oil and bless them. Bless them every day. You can bless them every day. And ask them to bless you. You know, one of the most beautiful things I saw towards the end of my father's life is he blessed my siblings and I with the holy oil. And it's a very symbolic gesture. It's very healing. And he put his hand on their head. And it was very, very grace-filled. It was very healing, I think, that touch of my father. So I would encourage you to look for that, okay? So you can bless your children. You can bless your spouse in a good way, I think. but deeply, you know, use it as a moment to draw closer to one another, okay? But to protect each other also, okay? So that's the idea. It's use the old rite to bless and exercise the water, oil, and salt. And you can put salt in the corners of your houses. You can put it around your property. I certainly did it at my parishes. And I have seen really an easier ability for me. There's less sort of this tension, this spiritual tension sometimes that can exist because it's a sacramental, it's a blessing, okay? So I encourage you to use those as you like. Great. I want to talk a little bit about listening today, because I think I'm hearing God, but maybe I'm not. I don't know, you know. At the very heart of all prayer, ladies, is the ability to listen, to hear God's voice, to reject the voice that is not of God, and to hear ultimately your identity. You're a child of God. I think that if everybody knew that they were children of God, how many of us would have not done so many of the rotten things we did in our lives? If I really knew my dignity, my identity. I mean, the easiest example to think about with that in terms of a kind of a simple thought that I've used often is that the Mass, we use this golden chalice. Regardless of how beat up the chalice is, whether it's bent and chipped, it's still a chalice, and it's made for something holy. It's not made for Coca-Cola or whatever. So it's still something holy. People may disregard the chalice, but when God looks at the chalice, he says, this is something that holds me. This is something that is dignified. And so through confession, it's kind of cleaned up. It's restored to its identity. It's not ever supposed to be made for something cheap. In like manner, that's how you are. You are made in God's image and likeness. You're not just a glass. You are a chalice holding the beautiful identity of God. I may not like the exterior of my chalice. I may wish it were like this or that. But ultimately, what God says is you are to be a woman who holds the kingdom of God within you. You are to hold the presence of God within you. That is who you are. Deeply rooted in prayer is the ability to hear what God wants you to do. What is God asking of me in my life, in my decisions, in how to address somebody or to accept some of the trials? The first thing to do to understand, number one, is God is speaking to you in those moments. There's no question. God doesn't leave you to figure things out. He will show you. An example of this very clearly and very simply is, let's say I show my child how to do something. Later on, they have to do something that's similar, using some of the same steps to do it, but it's not exactly the same. You've shown them how to do it, but it's slightly different. The child should be able to, through reflex memory, do some of those steps and then maybe get to a spot where they're uncertain, and that's where you may assist them, for lack of a better example. God does the very same thing with us. He shows us a pattern of how he communicates to us. The ability to know that pattern will help you discern and figure out where you should go. The best example I can tell you, ladies, is that God speaks to you face to face and heart to heart. He speaks in front of you. He does not speak behind you. He doesn't accuse you. With God comes an answer. It may not be an answer that you like, but it will be an answer. And let me say this sincerely. You must want to really hear what God wants. I can say, Lord, yeah, I'll do your will. And he says, well, okay, I want you to go to this parish. You're like, okay, but I'll do your will. And you can negotiate, okay? That's really not true listening. True listening is saying yes and understanding. Filtering out, some of the negativity that can come at you. And so because you were made in God's image and likeness, it is a very natural, as a matter of fact, it's so natural, it's supernatural for God to speak to you. Do you understand when God is speaking? Do you understand the movements? To listen does not mean just to use my ears. To listen means, Lord, I see the ocean, I see the water, and I hear something different. I hear something deeper within my heart, that water represents a part of my heart. It represents a part of my ministry. There's something there, okay? So it can use any of the senses, but you must be willing to listen more deeply as opposed to just the topical experience. Again, the example that I would use to you is God is like the iceberg. Pity the fool that just sees the tip. And they say, well, I've got that accomplished. Who's next? And yet, there's something so much deeper in the hidden mystery of God. The heart is meant to hear. Prayer is listening with my heart and my mind. Yes, Lord, I hear you. Again, I may not like what he says. I may not want what he says. But God does speak, and he says, let go of that. Quit carrying that. Why are you acting like that? And that's an easy way to say, well, Lord, because this is that you don't know what they did to me, why I'm acting like this. And so God does desire to deeply communicate. Scripture says in Genesis, let us make man in our image and likeness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're in constant communication. They're speaking in this love, this triangle, this communion of love. To really be a person who prays, you must enter the mystery of love, real love. Prayer is love, ladies. It's not an action where I simply pull out a book, even a written word, and I say, okay, let me pray to the unknown God. It's a relational encounter in which God is drawing you out of yourself so that he can fill you with himself. He draws you out of yourself. So prayer has one end, the living and true God. That is prayer. It is not a virtue of God. Does everybody understand? A virtue of God. Lord, give me more of your patience. Give me more of your gentleness. That's fine. But it's ultimately the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, mold me and make me to be more like you with the virtue of patience, gentleness, kindness, what have you. Because otherwise it's just sort of missing the mark. You are called to grow in virtue. The virtues, faith, hope, love. But as the Lord invites you, he constantly, as you draw closer, you know yourself better. prayer shows you who you are. I am a daughter before the Lord, and in my poverty, I know that God can fill me. I am not a person with a breast cancer. I'm not a person who is a failure. Yes, that may be part of it. That may be part of the struggle. That's really kind of like a dent in the chalice. Ultimately, I am one who is loved by God, whom he seeks to fill. Whom he seeks. So when I go to prayer, I may have distractions. I may have, I may be tired. And some of that can be a natural reality. But I want to help you realize that when you come out of prayer, you should be renewed because prayer is God telling you who you are. That's real prayer. It isn't just, what do you want me to do? That's not the most effective prayer because that's not relational. And you can stomp off like an angry kid. Lord, I love you and you love me and you have made me in this. And so I come to you and he will speak and give you his love so that you know his movements. And then you don't just go off and do it by yourself. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. And you stomp off and you say, okay, I'll go forgive my brother. Okay, that's not exactly the goal of prayer. You don't leave Jesus sitting in the church. You go, God fills you, and then you go with love to forgive or to speak or whatever. Okay? I'm finding that many folks say, okay, yeah, I felt the Lord asked me to do this, so I did it. Well, I said, how'd it go? Well, great. I said, well, what did the Lord do in the walk or that experience? Well, I don't know. He just told me to do it. He didn't say he was going to go with me. Well, that's not the point. You're supposed to allow the Lord to walk with you, and then he does it with you. Okay? So I prepare a homily in my chapel. I don't like, okay, Lord, I got it. You wait here, and I'll go preach at the church. I don't do that. I go, I hear what the Lord is saying. I said, all right, Lord, you speak, and I'll let you use my mouth, right? I'll try to be an instrument. Listening in prayer means I'm hearing deeply what God is asking of me. There's a scriptural passage I really want you to look at. It's John chapter 13. It's one of my favorite chapters. You probably know it, but I'll read it to you anyway. John 13, verse 23. When Jesus has thus spoken, he was troubled in spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. Verse 23. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was lying close to the breast of Jesus. So Simon Peter beckoned to him and said, tell us, who is it of whom he speaks? And so thus, lying close to the breast of Christ. That encounter of leaning your head against the heart of Christ and listening to the heart of Christ. First, he does so in total confidence. He is one who is loved by Christ. He is listening to the suffering because there's the betrayal. But he leans his head. The heart of the woman must be able to lean her head against the heart of Christ and to hear what Christ is saying. What is the Lord speaking to you? And how is he speaking to you? When he speaks to you thus, you can begin to hear the pain mixed with the blessing. But that is how the Lord speaks. He calls you very deeply into the mystery that you may actually understand What is his suffering? What is his trial? What is working in his heart? Are you one who leans his head against the heart of the Savior to hear him? Hearing Christ means to be able to tune out the distractions and go deeper into understand his pain, but his love. What the church really needs is women who do this, to listen. We cannot simply go to prayer for myself. I can go to prayer to console the Lord with all the suffering, with all the trauma, with all the pain. Like the woman who sent me the text about her little kid with the stitches, she's consoling the Lord through the suffering through her child. I love the idea of this simple listening to the heart of Christ and leaning my head there. Many of you have seen it in church where a little kid is leaning his head on mommy's chest or daddy's chest as they come to communion or when they're whatever. You've probably seen it thousands of times. And that little kid is hearing the heart of that adult, let's say. And yet there's an intimacy expressed. Any child who falls asleep on the heart, there's a natural love that is expressed, biologically, child or not. I'm intimately drawn there. Why? Because there's a vulnerability, there's a freedom. And yet, as the father, I'm loving because I'm actually engaging the child in this conversation of love. I don't have to do anything. The child just simply has to lean their head on my heart, and we're in a conversation. It doesn't even have to be my own child, right? Because the child is listening. There's communion. As the adult there, I'm loving this one in that conversation. Prayer is not about all the words that I can say, right? It's about me receiving from the Lord his love. My identity as a child. I think we often can go to prayer and say, well, was this prayer successful? Prayer means I come to the Lord in my poverty and I rest my head on his heart. That's prayer. True, authentic, Christ-like prayer. It erases all the, frustration with this is what I expected in my prayer. I didn't get anything out of prayer. And it's sort of funny because, I lead a pretty active life in my own way. And at the same time, I have to have a mind and a heart that slows down even in the activity. So I can hear what somebody's saying to me in an appointment as they lean their head against the heart of Christ in that conversation. Ultimately, that's what happens in a confession. The man or woman leans their head against the heart of the Christ, and through the priesthood, he speaks to them, says, I absolve you. But I have to have the silence in my own heart and that personal encounter, the personal encounter of my own prayer, to say, I know what the heart of the Lord says. I know what the heart of the Lord feels like. And therefore, I can express that. It may come out with a challenge, fine. But you see the point. Secondly, another scripture that I want to talk about is it's very simple. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Matthew 6:6. Pray to your Father in secret. Listening in prayer means that the Lord will speak very distinctly to you and unpack answers after the relationship is renewed. Come to the Lord relationally in all your prayer. Come to Mass, it's a relationship. I come to Mass because it's about Jesus Christ. I don't come to Mass because it's a building, and it's a Catholic building. That's fine. It's ultimately, I come to Mass to receive the Eucharist, the person of Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and to have my identity renewed within me. It's very significant. Renewing your mind and your heart means when you pray, you're hearing what your mind is telling you. Seeking to change, seeking to turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. When you learn to hear, things become alive more. You see things in different ways. And you understand the depth of some of the mystery that is around you. Again, I'm looking out the window and I'm thinking about the water. Again, on the topic, it's frozen. And yet, there's a whole world under there. A bunch of stuff moving around. Do I see those movements in my life, in my day? You know, I was thinking about Mother Teresa today. And, you know, Mother would go to prayer. You know, her story, her book said, she didn't really get anything out of prayer, but she was always listening. She was always listening. And she still kept doing the work, right? She still kept opening houses, even though she felt that God had sort of disappeared for a while. But she was still being directed by God. She knew that even though she wasn't really hearing, God was directing her. There are times, ladies, when it won't always be clear what you hear, but God will direct. He will show you the places to go. I can tell you that in my own mind. I've seen many times where I just offer my generosity. I say, yes, Lord. And then he directs it. I have to allow that. Okay. Prayer allows you to surrender yourself into the Lord's hands, mind and heart. And as you come to know yourself, you will see that God is working out everything in his course with love. Are there crosses? Yes. But the freedom to know that allows you to glorify God and to worship him and to hear him. Imagine if you can, if I'm in a conversation with you and if you have headphones on, you will never hear me. How do you remove the headphones in your heart so that you can truly, truly hear what God is saying? I can be having a live conversation with somebody and they don't hear it. Why? Okay, I'm sure you've had conversations with people in your life. They soundbite you, they don't hear you, right? And so, when we are receptive to the Lord, he speaks and he shows you a path which is one step at a time. God would never show you the full path because some of us wouldn't sign up for it. But you would accept one step at a time. So the Lord reveals his way, but it's only so that you can trust him each step of the way so that you can continue to lean your head against the heart of the Savior. Do you trust that God speaks and moves this way without giving full clarity for what you expect? Just the next step, and just the next step. Father Jacques Philippe said, in order to be a person who truly hears, you must have a wound in your heart, the wound of love. Because coming back to the Lord means that you are drawn to embrace Him. It is heart to heart. My heart to the Lord's heart. My broken heart to His pierced heart. And so I'm drawn. Very, very naturally is how you women have been created to console and to have compassion for suffering. Our Lady is your model. Keep being led back to God that way. Don't look at all of those emotions as impediments, as long as you bring them back to the Lord. Make sure that you don't listen to the false voice. A false voice. You're a failure. You're this or that. That's not a voice of God. Yeah, I might say I'm a sinner and I struggle with X, Y, and Z. That's true. But if you look at the times when you've heard that voice, it was typically rooted in a time of brokenness in your life. A brokenness or sin. It's kind of the same thing, but it's slightly different. Okay? Sometimes I've noticed that certain women have the struggle in their faith journey when, as they draw closer to the Lord, they want that sensible movement of God in their lives. And remember what I said yesterday. God kind of pulls us off the breast. And He says, no, I can't continue to nurse you. Sometimes you have to have the courage to just trust that I will feed you, I will provide food for you. But we can't just stay there. That's not what God intends. He pulls us off the breast so that we can mature and grow. But we have to trust that as He's spoken to me very intimately on my heart, then I take the active step to go into my room and pray to my Father in secret. Okay? Praying to your Father in secret means shutting out as many distractions as you can and hearing the Lord. But hearing the Lord means looking at the ocean, at the water, or maybe it's hearing music. Maybe it's taking a walk. I'm not sure. Your room is not necessarily literally your bedroom, although it may be. But it's a deeper place where I go and I'm able to hear what Christ is saying. Maybe Jen and Therese have a song that maybe they have a song, Elena, they have a song, they say, wow, that really brings me back to the Lord. And so God really speaks to them through that song. And I'm not sure where it brings them, but it draws them at that time into hearing what the Lord is asking of them. They have a surge of the heart. My heart responds. Oh, that song brings me to a place. It reminds me of love. My heart responds. And I'm able to hear God when once I felt there was a cloud. It sort of parts, and I'm able to hear. Maybe it's a picture. I look at a picture of a saint or the cross, and something opens in me, and I say, okay, stop being so self-consumed and draw deeper in. That's the room of my heart, and I'm able to listen through this cross. Okay? How does God speak to you? Do you know? Again, you have to make sure that the headphones aren't on. Watching around you, you will see many, many movements of love. Okay? Those are grace. Okay? I want to give you an example. I was at the parish, and we have these cones up, you know, to prevent people from driving through, crazy parents. Anyway, so, anyways, dad was coming out of school with this little kid, and the little kid was running ahead or jumping over the parking lot lines. It was kind of cute, you know, like he'd run and then jump over it, like, and run and jump in between each space. It was cute, you know. But the car came, and dad yelled, "Hold my hand, honey," right? And he put his hand down, and the boy just put his hand up, and they instantly locked together. Like, the little guy was totally consumed with the parking lot line. Dad was more consumed about the car. And I was thinking to myself, how many times God has asked me, hold my hand, and I don't raise my arm. I'm like, I got it. I'm too busy jumping over the lines. Have you ever noticed, like, there's very beautiful movements around you, and that's really speaking of God, right? Am I in the room of my chapel? No. Do I see something that is of God there? Absolutely. And God said to me, you know, that's a movement of God. Trust me. I heard him speaking there. Trust me. The incense thing. Trust me. The ocean, the water thing. Trust me. This is something here. I want to give you the freedom to know that those movements are really movements of the Lord. Because it confirms something of God in my life. It's not anti-Lord. It says, yes, this is how I'm trying to draw your attention. Right? You know, son, you're on the surface. There's something deeper moving. Look for it. Okay? You're caught up in the smoke of the incense and the caskets. You're not seeing me in the smoke. Like, these are all things I was thinking about in my prayer. And then I begin to hear how God strings them together. Okay? Watch for those movements. That is listening to God. And it's hearing, not an accusation. Look what you missed at those funerals. Look what you missed on the water. That's not it. He's saying, let me take you deeper and show you something that you've already had an experience of, but I'm going to unpack it for you. So your room is where you encounter God. This is your heart. It can be as simple, ladies, as, like I said, saying the name of Jesus, saying Our Lady, Blessed Mother. But constantly coming back to hear the Lord will give you the discernment and your decision making in what God is speaking to you. He will continue to speak, like the child that you've shown how to do something, and then it's the same thing kinda, but they use the same pattern. So God, in listening, you're gonna hear the pattern. If there's something new, he'll show you how to get to that, and a new step, and a new step. Be aware of those. Okay? Then, ultimately, what happens is that you can truly hear not only what God is asking, but then you know what grace is to ask for. Lord, if you are asking me to speak to my brother, if you are asking me to do this, I ask you for the grace and to go with me in this time, this situation. Jesus Christ in the garden said, Father, take this cup away, but not my will, but your will be done. The burden of the cross was confronting him, but he asked for the grace because he knew that this is what the Father was asking. I think we ask for things that are not always associated with the primary purpose and will that God has for me. And so he said, Father, give me the grace. Give me the grace if this is your will. It is your will, and then I do it. So I want, as you sort of take some time to unpack some of these things, I want you to ask yourself, do I really know how to lean my head against the heart of Christ? If you don't know how to do it, either envision yourself as a mother or an aunt and some little kid putting their head on your heart. What's that look like? Your image looking down with this little kid, right? So. And then you will begin to see how the father looks. The child is small, it's fragile, it's needing, it's crying. And what is the response of the person whose heart is being embraced by the child? Total joy, total love. This is not an impediment, it's not a burden. Get off. There's an intimacy there. God says, right? So if you, in all of your limitations, can enjoy that moment, how much more doesn't God enjoy the moment when we lean our head on his heart and say, Lord, tell me, speak to me, I'm tired. I come to just be with you, right? I come to trust. You will hear there's a freedom in that resting on that breast. There's a freedom, right? And in some of the spiritual direction that I've had, I've asked people to meditate on that, and how they come back to me will indicate a lot of things about where they are. Do I have joy there? Do I have confidence? Am I safe? Right? What's it look like? Okay. And, you know, recently, I don't know where I was, I saw this little kid, and I think the dad had like a gray shirt on. Anyway, there was some drool shrapnel from the little kid, right? He had the faucet was flowing out of his mouth, okay? So dad had this big bullet wound from the drool right on his shirt. I remember saying to the dad, hey, you drool a lot, you know? And the kid woke up, and the kid was totally starry-eyed, right? It was like he had no idea where he was, but his cheeks were so red and rosy, and it, right? He had a big line on his face from the dad's shirt. And I was thinking to myself, how much freedom that little boy had in resting on his father, right? He was totally at peace, right? He didn't really care what he looked like when he got up. He didn't. He had a line on his face. He was happy because he knew the father's love. Ladies, that, I know that's a simple analogy, and you can say, what's that have to do with prayer? I think it has everything to do with it. Because the inability to rest with God will produce in you a prayer that is active. I got to do this, I got to do that. I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm bored. What's the point? God didn't give me that. And all of a sudden, all these other peripheral things, and you say, what are you doing? Come on, stop it. Be focused. And so the idea is prayer truly, truly gives you this freedom where you can say, I hear what God wants, and I can lean my head against the heart of Christ. All right? God gives us all of these natural experiences so that you make a connection to the supernatural. Absolutely. And that's what our church has taught for years. I mean, that's why he came in the form of a baby, carried the cross, he cried, he slept, he ate, all of these human things so that you and I aren't like, well, I don't know what he's like. Yes, you do, because Scripture tells us. He was just a man who had a little boy who grew to a man, and he had all of these experiences. So your human life is not devoid of God at all. Actually, if it's well done, you're praying through your day and you're seeing the movements of God in your day. And you're struck by the power of God moving. And you say, wow, what a powerful encounter. What a grace. So, anyway, let's pray. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Saint Joseph, pray. So ladies, why don't you take a little time just to be quiet and imagine these two things, leaning your head against the heart of the Savior and pray to your Father in secret. Take some time, just keep a quiet heart, you know, and maybe go to your room and maybe just say, Lord, okay, I'm here. Sit on your bed or kneel and just say, Lord, speak to me and allow me to lean my head against your heart.